Hello, and welcome to the commentary for Lesson 286. This is Proverbs 1 and 2. So, before I begin in Proverbs, I want to step back just a bit into 1 Kings chapter 4 and read for you just how wise Solomon was. Just a quick reminder. Verse 29, God gave Solomon very great wisdom and understanding and knowledge as vast as the sands of the seashore. In fact, his wisdom exceeded that of all the wise men in the east and the wise men of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite. And then it goes on to others that he exceeded in wisdom. His fame spread throughout all the surrounding nations. He composed some 3,000 proverbs and wrote 1,005 songs. He could speak with authority about all kinds of plants, from the great cedar of Lebanon to the tiny hyssop that grows from cracks in a wall. He could also speak about animals, birds, small creatures, and fish. And kings from every nation sent their ambassadors to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. So that was Solomon. And why was he so wise? Because he asked God for wisdom and understanding. Because he felt, just like I believe his father felt, that he would not have, without God's help, the wisdom to lead the country the way that he needed to. So it's clear in the fact that, well, we read about Solomon's rule, that he was very wise. God did grant that prayer of his, and he wrote the Proverbs, which are wise guys' sayings. So, pretty cool. And it said that he wrote 3,000 Proverbs. Now, there's 31 books of Proverbs, but perhaps they are condensed, or perhaps some are missing. I'm not sure. I wasn't going to go into that too deep, but we have a beautiful sampling here of his writings, perhaps all of them. Perhaps not. But the first part of this, Proverbs chapter 1, is really just talking about the purpose of Proverbs. And verse 2 says, it is to teach people wisdom and discipline. So some of this sounds like common sense, but to the young, it wouldn't be. And they would be wise to listen. You know, these proverbs are written by older, more experienced, and the very wise Solomon. So it was something they took to heart. It was something they took great, I guess it was an honor to read and envelop themselves in these teachings. Now, us, sometimes I think, you know, we are surrounded by wise people, and the elderly often have a lot of lessons they could teach, stories they could tell, and we sometimes lose sight of that. We sort of forget that they have so much to offer, so much to teach, and I so appreciate the elderly. I love to hear their stories and learn from them. But we should always start to do that. So, okay. The purpose of Proverbs. Teach people wisdom and discipline. Verse 4. These Proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. So it seems especially for the young, because they have their lives ahead of them, and they could, it's sort of to prevent them from ruining their lives. And ending up into a path of wickedness that leads to death. So, verse 5, let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. What else stood out to me? Verse 7, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. a lot of people don't want to read the word because they're afraid of it, I think. They're afraid that it will open up a level of responsibility, and maybe it will shed a light on just how far they are from where they should be. Fear of the Lord, when you recognize that the Lord is the Creator and the, you know, the Holy Creator, and that He is merciful, but He is also holy and just. And having a fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of knowledge. Because without that, you wouldn't even understand the importance of it. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Yeah, because it might keep them, might not allow them to get into trouble anymore. Now, verses 8 through 19, this is a father's exhortation. It's just his request that his child listen. You need to listen to my advice. What a father would say in giving advice to his son, or perhaps a teacher to a student. Listen to your father when he corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Now, I recognize that, of course, not all parents are wise. And some children, it's almost like God has a hand on them and He protects them and He brings them up in such a way that they're able to thrive despite maybe the horrible parenting that they've had. But because our parents, or single parents perhaps, because they've lived longer than us and they do want what's best for us, we do need to honor our father and mother, just like God tells us to, right? One of the biggest things it says in verses 10 through 14, it makes the case that sinners will entice you. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. And it goes through the examples of how the wicked could pull you into their troubled world, their schemes. And it's important for young people and all people, but especially young people, to not get sucked into the mess of the wicked. Misery loves company, and the wicked want to get you into their snares, right? Because they want you, they don't like good, they don't like light, so they will try to pull you into the dark with them. So it's important, verse 15, my child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Now that says a lot. First of all, it says that the people, the wicked, that are setting a trap and trying to hurt others will only hurt themselves. And really it's saying that even a bird is smarter than these foolish people. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But they don't even see what they're doing to themselves. God is a just God, so they are going to get the punishment of what they're trying to give to others. Greedy for money robs them of life. They won't fully experience life. I believe they won't fully experience life on this side of heaven, but certainly not everlasting life, because greed for money will lead you into a trap of all sorts of sins. Okay, wisdom shouts in the streets. Now, this is obviously, the writer is using a personification and speaking like wisdom is a woman shouting in the streets. But really, it just means that there is wisdom everywhere, and that truth is instinctive to the wise. It's available to those who seek it. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street. to those gathered in front of the city gate. Now, I want to read what my study Bible says about the public square and the city gate. Okay. Where the leaders of the city met to hold court at the gateways, and where the marketplace was located. As a young man confronts life in its social context, two voices lure him, appeal for his allegiance, and seek to shape his life. The first is the voice of wisdom, and the second is the voice of folly. Folly is the sinful desires that he could follow, the things that he could be enticed to or pulled into. Verse 22, how long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you fools hate knowledge? They do. They don't want any part of it because it convicts them, it challenges them, and it shines a light on how everything they do is a mistake or sinful, and they don't want to be confronted with that truth. They want to remain in their sin. Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. That's verse 23. My study Bible says about this verse, it says, wisdom is like a fountain. Her words constantly refresh and strengthen. Okay. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. That sounds like someone who would reject, God, right? The teachings of God, the Father, the teachings of the Word, they're rejecting it. And just like we learned with God and the way that he dealt with Israel, he was always there for him, for his people. And they went through cycles where they would see that and they would recognize that and they would live for God and then they would turn away. And so that is our sinful nature. That's sort of the cycle we go in. And it seems that, you know, he's always there. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you. You paid no attention. You ignored my advice. Now, rejected the correction I offered. What does that mean? I believe that means, you know, God does correct us. Sometimes we have the right thoughts or feelings or we're just not recognizing something for what it is. Sometimes God has to shake our world to get our attention and help us get our priorities straight. So sometimes the trials that we go through are corrections. It's part of our training. But if we don't recognize that, oh, perhaps God gave this trial to me, not because he's being unfair or he's turned his back on me, but in fact, he's trying to teach me and correct me just as a father would their child. And so what do I need to learn from this? That's correction. When he puts us through a trial, do we recognize that perhaps we're being corrected? Perhaps we're being trained? It took me a while to get there, but I have realized that in some of my trials. And at some point, when you reject him over and over again, and you don't seek understanding, and you don't come to God, you don't cry out to him, eventually, he will back off. He will leave you to your own destruction, because that's all you will ever get on your own. When they cry for help, I will not answer. This is verse 28. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me, for they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. He is patient. He is merciful. But there comes a point where we have to make a decision. Will we make the decision that leads us closer to him or further away from him? At some point, he just lets us be. If we keep making the wrong decision over and over and over again, it breaks us hard to do it. He has to let us go at some point. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way. Yes, if we live our own way, it leads to destruction. Not just will we fall into traps all over on this side, but we will spend eternity in hell. Let's be honest. If we don't get right with the Lord, choking on their own schemes. Wicked people fall into their own traps, the traps they set for others. 32, verse 32, for simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Doesn't say we won't be harmed, but we won't live in fear. We will have that peace that passes understanding. So, if you want wisdom, in Proverbs 2, verse 3, cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Ask for it. You read the Bible, you don't understand it, ask for understanding. You read the Bible, you don't desire it, ask for the desire. Pray for it. And keep praying for it, not just once. He wants to know that you really want it. Right? It's like, I don't get my kid a new bike just because he mentioned it once in passing that he might like a bike. I want to see that he really wants it, and he really wants it bad before I give it to him. That tells me this is an actual real desire that he has. He's not going to waste it. He's not going to neglect it and leave it back there like a spoiled child who gets something but never plays with it. He will love it. He will take care of it. God does the same thing. Verse 7, I love this, 7 and 8. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. When we are faithful to him, he is with us. He guards us. He shields us. And he gives us common sense. Thank goodness, because I needed a big dose of that. Verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. If we are learning, if we have a relationship with God, we're in the Bible. When I make a big decision, I filter everything through the Word. So when we make decisions, if it fits into what God has for us, if it fits his word, if it glorifies him, then that's probably a good decision that we could make. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. And it will never lead us down the wrong path if we follow the words of this book. The Holy Spirit is what gives us discernment, wisdom, protection, joy, comfort. All of those things come from the Lord. Wisdom will save you from evil people. And then, of course, 16 through 19, verses 16 through 19 is, you know, wisdom will save you from the immoral woman. You should know how to stay out of trouble. She's going to get you into trouble. Right? I had when I was first married, my husband and I, you know, we were newlyweds. It takes a while to figure out how to deal with living with another person and being fully committed and married to another person. And you're so used to being selfish and doing your own thing. But my husband was, he had friends that were single, and one of them particularly was divorced, and he wanted to go to the city. We were in the service, and we lived on base. His friend wanted to go to the city of Dallas, Texas, and he wanted to pick up women, and he wanted to take my husband with him. And my husband thought it would be a good idea for him and two other men to go to Dallas and go on a road trip. Well, I'm sure he knew, really, that it wasn't a good idea. And I said, you know, he's divorced. He wants you to go because you're the good-looking one, and women run usually in crowds of three, and they want you there to help attract the women. And I said, and even if you're not going to do something with the women, they plan to. So you're going to be sitting there looking at the third girl, and you shouldn't even be there. You're a married man. And he understood that and he didn't argue with that and he stayed home. See, when we have danger trying to pull us, sin, wickedness is trying to pull us into its grip, we have discernment to recognize it for the danger that it imposes on us and just say no. We don't have to go there. We know better than to go there. Verse 20, follow the steps of good men instead and stay on the paths of the righteous. For only the godly will live in the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. So, that is good words of advice from wise men, right? That's really it for today. I hope you all have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.